halls of power to the fortress tower. Not a stone will be left on stone. Let the king beware, for your justice tears every tyrant from his throne. The hungry poor shall be no more for the food they can never earn. There are tables spread, every mouth be fed, for the world is about to turn. My heart shall sing of the day you bring. Let the fire of your justice burn. Wipe away all tears, for the dawn draws near and the world. Nations rage from age to age, we remember who holds us fast. God's mercy must deliver us from the conqueror's rushing grasp. This saving word that our forebears heard is the promise which holds us bound. Till the spear and rod can be crushed by God, who is turning the world around. My heart shall sing of the day you bring, that the fire of the just burn. Wipe away all tears, for the dawn draws near and the world is about to turn. My heart shall sing on the day you bring, let the fire and the justice burn.
the paper and the TV news. Somebody's army is always on the move. There's gonna be a battle. The lines have been drawn. They got guns and tanks and planes. The wells are gone dry and the water is bad and the air is acid rain. There's a rumbling in the ground, and they're talking about the beast. Good mother's cry calls, the rivers run high with the blood of too many sons. Some people say peace is on the way, but the worst is still to come. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book. Oh. Cities and the missiles stand ready for flight. A pale horse rides like the wind across the night. And that rumbling in the desert like thunder getting closer. Are the trumpets getting ready to blow? There's gonna be a shout that will wake the dead. We better be ready to go. The prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by.
And it is going by the book. That's what the Joint Chief of Staff, the presidents of every country, prime ministers, and the Knights of Malta, Knights of Columbus. How many times can I say that? I need a recording of that, so I don't have to keep saying it all the time. That's something they must not know, because the book, they have to go by the book, because God requires it. We're going to talk about that tonight, and the false Christ that's appearing, and one very significant one that's going to change your life, that people aren't ready for. And they're not connecting the dots in the churches. I would say 2% is even talking about the connections that I hope to make tonight that's not being talked about in the churches. You do have ministers and pastors, some evangelists that are talking about the New Age movement, about Yeshua, Jeshua, Yahweh, these fake names of God, of Jesus, is coming up, and there's a trick going on with it that you all need to know about. And when you all know about it in your separate places of where you live, that it's going to come up again, except this time it's going to be real. Those just joining us, my name is Thomas Campbell. I have a Facebook, Watchman for Jesus. I also have a website, watchmanforjesus.com. And on there I put the archives of, well, starting to put all the archives of the Bible studies and broadcasts. We are also played randomly, 24 hours now, on my website. And we also, our programs are played at highpointradio.net. John Kirkler, Herkler, H-E-R-K-A-L-E-R, at highpointradio.net. Highpointradio.net, and his email is highpointradio@yahoo.com. And it's played up there in New Jersey, Pennsylvania, and New York. Also, KBLU Radio does a simulcast of our programs, and that's at Blue Raven Network. Plays our programs and Bible studies. Family, tonight, I'm going to talk about the part of it going by the book. I guess it kind of plays into what I want to talk about. Sometimes I add things to the program I don't even know is going to happen. I got a basic idea, but sometimes things just pop in front of my face and I just go with the flow. Well, actually, I let the Holy Spirit guide me. Sometimes I switch and have to change the title where I started sometimes, actually. You know, we're about to move what they call the age of Aquarius into what the age of the Bible calls the day of sorrows. The New Agers and so forth call it the age of Aquarius and so forth and so on. But the Bible describes it the day of sorrows. You know, Jesus himself warns about a great tribulation that's coming upon the earth. It's never before witnessed in history. That's from Jesus Christ himself. Am I supposed to not say that so not to depress people or something, or to warn them as a watchman? Well, I think I should warn people. But don't let anybody fool you. Jesus said that for many will come in his name, claiming to be the Messiah, but will lead many astray. You know, sometimes we say these words, but sometimes they say them in Bible studies and churches and as a cliche. It just sounds good saying it, but do you really stop and think about it, what it means? When you got the Jesus lookalike in Russian area, forgot what his name is, he comes walking down his pathway and, you know, a couple hundred people out there making praises to this guy with long hair, and he looks like what we think Jesus should look like. Oh, they're all going to be fooled. Because nobody knows what Jesus looks like. Nobody does. There's no portraits. There's no stone carvings. Jesus didn't hold still long enough. So, you know, actually, if you think about it, all of our lives has had this picture, movies, portraits, black velvet pictures of this long-haired guy with blue eyes, blonde hair, maybe with a beard, maybe not. That's supposed to be Jesus. Has anybody ever asked who actually saw Jesus that you could describe him as that way? Answer is, nobody has. At least nobody living today. So the question, there's two. Does he exist? And if he did exist, was he really the Son of God? Well, answers to the question is both yes, yes. Did he exist? Of that, there's no question. The one named Jesus Christ existed. There's more evidence of his existence than even outside the Bible, including the Bible. There's more evidence of him existing than any figure in history, as far as evidence of Jesus Christ of Nazareth existing. The only question is number two that people debate is whether or not he's the Son of God. And even the disciples, until they actually saw him, doubted he was the Son of God and could come back to life. After he raised Lazarus from the dead, they saw it their own eyes. They still didn't believe he could raise himself from the dead. That's when he came to the grave of Lazarus, and they were all getting down on Jesus for, where were you? If you've been here, Lazarus would not have died. Now here it says in the Bible that Jesus shed a tear, or two or three. Can you imagine the emotion of the man named Jesus that he would shed a tear over Lazarus? Alas, he didn't. He shed a tear, yes. Over Lazarus? No. He shed a tear for two reasons. One, because of the pain that all were going through, the sorrow that they were going through over their dead Lazarus. But he shed a tear, or two or three, because they still didn't believe that he could raise Lazarus from the dead, that he himself was the Son of God. That's why he shed the tear. Not because Lazarus was dead, but because, number one, they didn't believe, and number two, they were so sorrowful, he felt for them as well. But he did. He raised Lazarus from the dead. So with them not believing, the disciples confirmed that nobody believed, and so they said, well, he's just, you know, it's too late. Can you imagine their thoughts, the ones who walked with Jesus, when Jesus told them, as he walked down to the grave of Lazarus, told him to move the stone away? He's like, what? What did you say? Move the stone away? No. What's he going to do? I don't know. So they were in obedience. So they like, okay, well, let's move. What is this? Move the stone away. So they're pushing. So they're not believing yet, right? So they're going on faith or by just placating, they think. So they move the stone away. Like he tells us to move the stone away from our hearts. He, you know, Jesus could have done it himself. Couldn't that have made a really good Bible story? That the Son of God walked down to the stone and waved his hand and the rock exploded? Or moved it with his own kinetic energy and there it moved. That's what Hollywood would do. Think about it. If they were going to write the Bible to fit a fantastic Messiah, they would have written in, Jesus walked down to the grave, he stood before it, spoke, clapped his hands, and moved the stone away himself. But they didn't do that. They told it exactly like it happened. Jesus said, you move the stone away. So they had to grunt and push and push and push, and it's dangerous too, moving this big thing. What if it fell? They pushed it away, or whatever they did with it. They moved it out of the way, and like, what's he going to do? I don't know. And they said, Lord, he stinks in there. He's been out dead 4 days. I bet you rigor mortis set in, you know. They didn't say rigor mortis, they said it stinks. Same thing. So he walks up to the grave. He calls out in a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. Come forth. They're probably saying, oh, man, I don't believe this. You believe? You seen this? Oh, my gosh. So they're probably like, what in the world? It's like he cries out to us, to a loud voice to come forth to him. Repent. Take him as our Savior. To move the stone away from our heart, we have to. Like he made them move the stone away from the grave. From the darkness into the light. That works. Guess what? Lazarus comes out. Now, whether he shuffles out with his feet, floats out, or shuffles or scuffles or whatever, don't know. Doesn't really say, but don't matter. He came out. That's all that matters. Because it does say they had to unwrap him. That's significant. Didn't have to unwrap Jesus. He wasn't mummified anyway. They had a napkin placed over his face, by the way. So that shroud is a bunch of baloney. That shroud is a fraud. The shroud of Turin is nothing but a bunch of baloney and wires and supernatural whiz-bang, smoke and mirrors, who knows what else. Dye and something else. It's all a bunch of lies. There's no such thing as a shroud that Jesus was wrapped into, and they kept it. Not the Jesus we know. Did it not say they folded a napkin over his face, or a napkin over his face, and he folded it. When he got back in, when in the 3 days, when they said the stone's been moved in Jesus' tomb, they went to look, and there was a napkin folded. That's significant, too. So, back to Lazarus. They moved the stone. There he was. And after all that, they still didn't believe. All the way up to the Thomas. Second time. Till he saw. Oh, by the way, the napkin, before I forget it, and I'll dedicate the broadcast. The napkin in those days, the master of the house who had servants, the master was eating and he'd have a napkin or something. And when he's done with the food or done eating, he'd just throw down his napkin on the plate. That means the servant that the master's done. So the master would leave the table and be cleaned off. But if the master folded the napkin nice and neat, laid it to the side, that meant the master was leaving, but he would be back. He wasn't done with the meal yet. Well, the napkin of Jesus was on his face. It was folded when they got there. It means he's coming back. Anyway, everything means something in the Bible. Jesus is coming back. I'm going to dedicate the broadcast, and then we're going to talk about Yeshua and a little bit about spiritual warfare and whatever else it leads me to. Thank you, Lord, tonight for this Bible study. Thank you, Lord, that we come together again on this Tuesday night for a Bible study for this week. We thank you, Lord, that your Son, Jesus Christ, is our Savior, that through him we can be born again in eternity. We thank you, Father, Holy Spirit, that dwells inside of each of us, that's born again. And Lord, we thank you for the Holy Word through the King James Bible that you've given us. For these things, we thank you, Father, that you can lead us. Lord, we thank you for the Holy Spirit that gives us discernment, wisdom that we need when we witness. And for ourselves, Lord, when doubt may creep up or when we're confused with all the things going on around us, the Holy Spirit is there to guide us. For these things, we thank you, Father. Lord, we raise up to you our brethren, our family members that are sick, confused. Lord, that's got these results of the flu shots that's happened. And Father, those with dementia and Alzheimer's and these other maladies that come up, that Lord, that your Holy Spirit will heal them. Give them back their minds, Lord, if that be your will. But through their maladies and through what's going on, Lord, that you'll use these situations in our lives for your glory. And Father, we can witness to others and bring in families together. Lord, these things we pray and pray for our returning servicemen. That, Lord, their thoughts of suicide is rampant. And their movement to the other religions, Father, is being done because of their disillusionment with what they're taught. And, Father, to set up divine appointments to take their minds away from the thought of suicide. Take their thoughts away from corrupt religion. And divine appointments with born-again Christians. These things we pray, Lord. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Family, the whole idea that everything's going on today is based on redemption. That's what it's all about. Because through Jesus Christ, we are redeemed. And that's the story. And I'll continue right after this song, Redeemed.
Like all I could see was the struggle. Oh. ghost that lived in my past. Bound up in shackles of all my failures. Wondering how long is this gonna last? Then you look at this prisoner and say to me, son, stop fighting a fight that's already been won. And I am redeemed. You set me free. So I'll shake off these heavy chains and wipe away every stain.
Psalms 51, 2. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. And I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Well, family, that's what's coming down. People aren't ready for it yet. They believe that mankind's going to fix all this. That's what they're hanging on to. Some political leader or some supernatural being is going to come out. That's what they think. And it's not going to happen that way. You see. Mankind's never going to fix this. It's not possible. It's going to be Jesus Christ that does. He's the only one that's going to fix it. In the meantime, man's going to bounce against the walls and I don't know, Nessera here and pay off the debt with the prosperity package, and here comes UFOs, and they're going to arrest Tony Blair. Oh, yeah, they got this arresting Tony Blair website. Yeah, believe it or not, in the some little country somewhere indicted Bush for crimes. People actually take this serious. You know, in the white hats on the highest level, they actually believe they're going to fix things as well. Some of them probably really believe that. But all they're going to do, exchange the pot for the kettle. Every single time. And people keep forgetting. These secret societies, they take a blood oath to lie. Now therein lies a problem right off the get-go. Jesus said, you'll hear of wars, rumors of wars, the nations and kingdoms will rise against each other. There'll be famines and earthquakes in many places, but all this will be only the beginning of horrors to come. Sin will be rampant everywhere. Good news will be preached throughout the world, and then shall the end come. You'll find that in Matthew 24, 4 to 8, 12 and 14. And tribulation is coming. And if you look at the dictionary, it defines tribulation as distress, affliction, and suffering. And you know, this great tribulation is a time of unbelieving suffering and crisis. Family, it's coming. All this evil you see on this world today, you read about it all the time. And it's only scratching the surface of the evil that's here. You know, I'd love to give a Dr. Feelgood speech here, but that's not reality. I can't deal in non-reality. I can deal with reality. And there's a million children missing every year, for goodness sakes. And these children are being used for sacrifices. And the governments and the high-level religions, they're using them. Now, I don't pray for the return of the Republic of America. I pray for the return of Jesus Christ to stop the sacrificing of children. Everybody's praying for the return of the Republic. Yeah, well, who's going to stop the sacrificing of the children that's coming from the government itself? You know, there's a problem there. And this is orchestrated by the Vatican. And yeah, it is. In the highest level. The blue bloodline. Black nobility. Something's missing here. Something's not right. It's like we're praying for this world government to continue on. Well, I don't think so. So when you pray for Jesus Christ to come back, well, there's something supposed to happen before that. And it's called the Daniel 70th week. They're trying to get you to believe it's happened already. But that's impossible. God, by His Holy Spirit, is calling mankind to prepare for the end of all things. And He's allowing nature to pound this earth with one crisis after another to warn us of the approaching day of wrath and judgment. Did you hear what I said? He listened to every word I say. Y'all. He's allowing nature to pound this earth with one crisis after another. Now you know the purpose of HAARP. Weather control. Earthquake control. They do it. Oh, for sure. They think, with their knowledge that's given to them by the fallen angels. Well, they think aliens and ascended masters. But they think their knowledge will be able to manipulate the weather and nature and fight God with it. That's the big picture. You see now why? Star Wars with Reagan, who was an actor, but he came up with Star Wars, allowed it to happen, actually. He lied to the country, too. But the point is, they believe they can control the weather. They can control earthquakes. And they are, by the way. Tornadoes, everything. But they think that when the day comes, they go up against God, that they can use His own weapons against Him. That's got to be plain dumb. I mean, it just boggles my mind how dumb they can get and still be so smart. So they believe. So can we believe the predictions of Jesus in the age of increased knowledge and great scientific achievement? And can we really appreciate the idea of a world that's in complete chaos? We ask ourselves, are the biblical prophecies to be taken literally? Will there be a final world war involving every nation as described in God's word? Everything that Bible says is true. And they're trying to hijack, and they think their knowledge will defeat God with his own weapons. They believe the weapons are the meteorites, the tornadoes, the earthquakes, the volcanoes. It's God's weapons. Well, here's a little problem. God created the world, universe. He created the notion of frequency vibration. And all he does is when they get too close, he lets them get so close, they think they've got it. We got it. We got it. No. He changes the frequency vibration and their formulas go to scrap. That's why they always have to keep upgrading technology. God's going to let them go to a certain limit. He puts that carrot before them, thinking they're going to get it, and he shuts them down every time. Shuts them down every time. Shuts them down every time. And they're going to come to a point that their technology will go no further. Well, there's a new covenant made in his blood. There was several great covenants in which God was pleased to enter the human beings in either a conditional covenant or unconditional covenants. So a covenant is conditional, by the way, whenever it's made to depend on any point on the faithfulness of the people involved. Israel had a problem with that. Seemed like we're having a problem too in the United States. The laws given by Moses was conditional. The terms were stated in the words, if you will do good, I will bless you. He gives them the opportunity. On the other hand, the covenant is unconditional when it stands as a simple declaration from God as to what purposes to do. He proposes without relation to the faithfulness or unfaithfulness of people. The Abrahamic covenant, Abraham being the first Jew, as said in scriptures, Genesis 12, 1 to 4, Genesis 13, 14 to 17 verse, and 15, Genesis 15, 1 to 7, and Genesis 17, 1 to 8. It was an unconditional covenant. Because, you see, God relied on, at no point, on the character or conduct of Abraham. He simply declared to Abraham what he proposed to do. So it's based on Abraham's faith, but not on his faithfulness. He tested his faithfulness with Isaac, did he not? Even the point of having, so we could read about it today, Abraham to sacrifice his only son. That was for us to read about today. Just as the testing of Job was done, so we'd read about it today. Examples. So we'd read about it today. Well, that faithfulness is going to be tested again. You have one called Yeshua that's going to appear on the world. Right now, it's conditioning. The conditioning of a world, especially the United States, into calling Jesus Yeshua. The argument is, that's his name in Hebrew, and so we should call him that. Really, says who? Mankind says it, or the Hebrews? Or excuse me, or the Jews? Or the Hebrew roots movement, sacred name movement, Christian identity? The white folk in the tribe of Dan? all those who want to go back to Hebrew roots to ignore the real Jesus Christ. It's what it boils down to. But that's not all. The Yeshua they're talking about, that they're trying to fake it, is not Jesus Christ of the Bible, of the Nazareth. But they're not telling people that. They're trying to link it together. But it's deeper than that also. When you do the research and you start connecting dots, then you start seeing the reality of what you're dealing with. And we're talking about the false prophet of the Bible and the Antichrist. You see, Jesus was known in Hebrew because they didn't have English back then in those days. They had Hebrew. His name was Yeshua. And Jesus is also called Jeshua. And in the Bible, I don't recall exactly the scripture off the top of my head. There's a Jesus referred to in the Bible, but it's not Jesus of Nazareth in the Old Testament. But Jesus, Yeshua, in Hebrew, the Bible was not written. The true word of God was not written then. The only thing they had was a Masoretic text by Moses. They didn't have a complete God-ordained word of God until King James came along. That was the only Bible, the only word of God that was 100% complete and happened to be put in English, previously in Greek. By the time King James got it, they collected 98% of the scrolls, manuscripts, over about 12-year period. God guided them for his true word. Wasn't the Torah, wasn't the Jerusalem Bible, wasn't the NIV, wasn't Deuteronomy or the Septuagint or Apocrypha, none of that. And even the Bishop's Bible, the Geneva Bible, were not complete. And in fact, in a lot of cases, were errant. But the King James, in English, is the only true word of God with all the scripture scrolls put together, taken from the Textus Receptus, which was taken from the Antioch, which they made transcribed from the originals. And you don't have originals today. And God guided them in 1604 to 1611, 47 total. So in that word, when translated into Hebrew, it might be Yeshua. But this is not the case of what they're trying to push this for. That's the argument. So you got English speaking people that's also using Yeshua, and those trying to convince us to use Yeshua and Yeshua, Jeshua and Yeshua. And I'm going to tell you why. This is the trick they're trying to pull. Is they reject Jesus Christ of Nazareth, and they have, the Jews have, and tribe of Dan has what they think is the actual Messiah, whose name is Sananda Manuel, Maitreya, your false prophet and Messiah. Maitreya is a generic name for the Antichrist, yet to show. Sananda Manuel is a fallen angel who will be the false prophet, who is saying his name is Yeshua, an ascended master, alien. So if we get us all on the same page as saying Yeshua, when they have disclosure, you'll be used to saying Yeshua. And when he says, I am Yeshua, brainwashing to the max. Because remember, the real Jesus Christ doesn't show till after Armageddon. And that's why I was talking about the Great Tribulation has got to happen before that. And this is why they want you to believe the Great Tribulation is already done and gone. Now you got it? Because once they convince people like Carl Gallup and the rest of them, we're in the sixth trumpet already, convince us that we in fact, which is not a fact, which we are from their perspective, which we are in fact past the Great Tribulation, like the Calvinists want you to believe, then what comes next? Jesus does. But when he says his name Yeshua, you got yourself a fake Jesus and a false prophet. That's what they're trying to set up. Here's what they say. That Jesus was known as Yeshua. That his ascended master's name is Jesus Christ. Oh, they're tricky. And that Jesus Christ is the official name and carries his vibration. They say that Jesus does not use Sananda. That people, they say, need to make peace with Jesus in order to enter the Aquarian Age consciousness. You got your knee-high boots on. It's getting deep. Now, the answer is to questions about Jesus Christ being Yeshua is posed to various channelers. And they say that a very clear channel and channels Yeshua, if you're on the real Jesus, who is the being my friend channels? Well, they say that this one called Yeshua channeled through Kim Michaels. Now, do y'all recall last week on one of the Bible studies or broadcasts? Anyway, I talked about the three ways that they came inside the body by overshadowing and channeling. One by full possession, one by you know something's coming at you from the outside, and another by their thoughts and ideas they think it's their own. That was real quick. Well, this is how they do it. They do the meditative state, do their own, whatever the heck they do. In some cases, to manifest a fallen angel in front of them, they have to kill something living and do the invocations and all that other nonsense. But it works. Here's what the one channel through Kim Michaels, calls himself Master Jesus, says. This is what they say. When I was on earth, I was not known as Jesus Christ. I was known by my Aramaic name of Yeshua. Today, I'm an ascended master by the name of Jesus Christ. And that is the name by which I am known by my colleagues among the ascended masters. It's also the name that captures my vibration, invokes my presence. It is indeed the official name that I use for this planet and will use for the foreseeable future. Even alternative spellings of my name in Greek or Aramaic are not my official name. Will not carry the same vibration as the name Jesus Christ. I do have an inner or a spiritual name, but that name cannot be broken by the human tongue or heard by the human ear. Hence the sacred name movement. Continuing, nor would I release that name, or rather material version of it, given the current state of consciousness of humankind. If I were to do so, certain people on the planet would immediately misuse it in their rituals of black magic. So any entity who claims to be me, claims to be using my true spiritual name, or my real name, is surely not the real Jesus Christ. Now, they take in this dialogue, of this channeled dialogue, a lot of key phrases that's used in the Bible. For example, concerning disciplines. When you have passed a certain initiation on the spiritual path, you no longer need to adhere to the discipline that was necessary for you to pass the initiation. And say what? Anyway, when you have learned to walk, you no longer need crutches. See what they're doing here? It's talking about the Bible. They're saying the Bible's a crutch is what it's referring to. Hey, tricky. A discipline is defined to help you grow. If you become rigid and fanatical in applying the discipline, it will hinder your growth. Man was not made for the Sabbath. You see how tricky they are? Rigid is following the Ten Commandments. You have to interpret this from their perspective and how it works on the mind and mind control. And he goes on to answer all this stuff in the New Age point of view. So, these are some people that do claim that our Lord should not be referred to as Jesus. Instead, should only use the name of Yeshua. Some even go so far as to say they're calling him Jesus is blasphemous. A lot of people go into great detail about how the name of Jesus is unbiblical. Because the letter J and modern invention, and there's no letter J in the Greek or Hebrew. Well, in the Old Testament, original King James, 1611, it was in Greek. It was Jesus, I-E-S-U-S. Then when it became English, it was Jesus, the J. So yes, Yeshua is a Hebrew name, and the English spelling is Joshua. Jesus is the Greek transliteration of the Hebrew name, and the English spelling is Jesus. Thus, the names of Joshua and Jesus are essentially the same name. Certainly not the same individuals. Both are pronunciation of the English and the Hebrew and Greek names for our Lord. For example, two names are interchangeable. Acts 7:45 and Hebrews 4 verse 8 in the King James Bible. In both these cases, the word Jesus refers to Old Testament character Joshua. In Acts 7:45, Hebrews 4 verse 8. That's not Jesus of Nazareth. The Jesus refers to there is Joshua. So now changing the language of a word doesn't actually affect the meaning of the word. He called a bound and covered set of the pages of a book. If you go to German, it becomes Buch, B-U-C-H. Spanish, it's Libro. French, it's Livre. Language changes. Object itself doesn't change at all. Shakespeare, who was an avatar, by the way, he said, that which we call a rose by any other name would be smelling sweet. Romeo and Juliet. There's a link between Shakespeare and Sir Francis Bacon, too, by the way. That's another story. It gets into the Dan Brown stuff. You know, in Cantonese, he's called Yesu in the King James Bible. That's without changing his nature. Any language, his name is the Lord of salvation. Now, this controversy about the letter J has a lot to do with about nothing. It's distraction. It is true, however, that the languages in which the Bible was written had no letter J. But that doesn't mean the Bible doesn't refer to Jerusalem. They forget about that, don't they? And it doesn't mean we can't use the spelling Jesus, neither. So the whole idea is gets used to using Old Hebrew because of the name Yeshua, because Hanan Emmanuel will call himself to be Yeshua. So, if a person speaks and reads English, it's acceptable for him to spell things in English fashion. Spellings can change, even in like a language. Americans use Savior, S-A-V-I-O-R. British use Savior, S-A-V-I-O-U-R. So the addition of you, or it's taken away from it, depends on your point of view. It's nothing to do with who we're talking about. Jesus is a Savior. He's a Savior. Jesus and Yeshua and Jesus are referring to the same person of the King James Bible. When they get you saying the other thing, they're preparing you for Sananda to call himself Yeshua and that the Bible has been misinterpreted. And that's when the Book of Enoch will take the lead. That's why you have folks in this, on the Luciferian side, Hebrew Roots Movement, Christian Identity, etc., of pushing the Book of Enoch. Because one, the highest level, they know what's coming. The Book of Enoch will take the place of the King James Bible. Because even the atheist Muslim, and all the rest except the Book of Enoch, because it's so elaborate, it's so exotic. Yeah, talking about the fallen angels. It's fun. It's mysterious. All that is designed to pull people away from the true Word of God, the King James Bible. That's why. It's got a curse on it. Absolutely. And there's one slight little problem. Like the Book of Thomas, the Book of Judas, the Book of Mary. Well, actually, I call it a major problem. Is the Book of Enoch was never written by Enoch. Enoch departed 3 generations before Noah's flood, before Noah survived the flood. And Enoch was taken by God up into heaven as in a rapture of sort. They didn't hold a book, a prophecy of book, a book of prophecies by Enoch for 3 generations through the flood and all the way. No, the prophecy of Enoch was passed down word of mouth. Yes. But not a book. 2 Enochs in the Bible. First Enoch was the son of Cain. Second Enoch was the son of Jared. In the line of Seth. Great grandfather to Noah. Taken early too. 365 years old back then was early. Nowhere in that Bible. And they can there. Nobody can show you. You'll find nowhere in there that commands us to speak or write only his name in Greek or Hebrew. It doesn't even hint at it. Rather, the message of the gospel was being proclaimed on the day of Pentecost. The apostles spoke in the language of Parthians, Medes, and Elamites. The residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia. Phrygia, Pamphylia, in Egypt, parts of Libya near the Crimean, in Acts 2, verses 9 to 10, spoke in all those languages. That was the real language of the tongues, not the fake they have today of 99.999%. Today, there's no tongues. That's satanic, absolutely. There's no translations. Notice that they never translate. In the power of the Holy Spirit, Jesus was made known in every language group that people understood it in that language group. And in a way that he could really understand it. Spelling didn't matter. We call him Jesus because English-speaking people. We know him through English translation of the Greek New Testament. But that's not what's going on, is it? What's going on is they want everybody to say Yeshua. Massively. It's like a disease. Because they're brainwashed into believing this, it's like a spell in preparation for Yeshua, Sananda, Emmanuel. Scripture doesn't value one language over another. And it gives no indication that we have to resort to Hebrew in America or anywhere else when addressing God. Command is to call on the name of the Lord. That's the promise we shall be saved. Whether we call him on him in English or Korean or Hindi or Hebrew or result of the name is Lord of Salvation. Now, you've heard me refer to the Sacred Name Movement. Well, they snuck it in on you. That's the movement that they use to solidify this agenda. They always got a movement. And this is also linked up to the Hebrew Roots Movement. And you'll find that this is also part of Arnold Murray, Shepherd's Chapel. Now, I'm going to give you a small segment of Arnold Murray's teaching. Listen to this carefully. And Arnold Murray is linked up to Herbert Armstrong. linked up to Westboro Baptist Church, linked up to Christian Identity. You got it? It's all linked together. I listened to this about Arnold Murray's teaching.
Fell and two-thirds didn't.
Hold on a second.
Are they?
Let's do it again. Here we go. And away we go.
The angels, one-third fell and two-thirds didn't. What are they? Where are they now? Are they considered evil spirits? Of course not. They're God's children. You know, who do you think you were before you entered your mother's womb?
For thus made him little lower than the angels, and has crowned him with love and glory. We certainly aren't angels.
You were with God. And what does the word angel mean anyway? It means messenger.
The Greek word for angel means messenger. The Hebrew word means divine being. People didn't used to be angels.
All right. There's nothing super special about angel. It simply means messenger and somebody in a spiritual body. Let me tell you about the one-third and the two-thirds. You say the two-thirds didn't? Yes, they did. They were sinners.
Almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood, there's no remission. So how did the angels make a blood sacrifice to repent of their sin before death came to the world by Adam? It didn't happen.
There was only a small handful called God's elect that absolutely fought against Satan.
It's not in the Bible.
That were chosen before the foundations of the earth. And they're just like people today. You've got one-third that, I mean, they'll go for anything. But you've got another third that, long as I've got a job and a paycheck and I can live from one day to the other, I'm a happy person. And you got somebody else that just, you know, they've got plenty of everything and they're blessed, but they got no time for God, okay? As far as putting him first in their lives, it just doesn't happen. So you give man too much credit. Only God's elect held that line in the first earth age.
We'll find that in the Bible.
And it's real sad. But the book of Revelation says when the false Christ comes, the whole world whores after him. That means a lot of people are deceived. And they're going to worship him. That makes it real sad, but it kind of lets your numerology fall. It isn't a matter of evil spirits. It's a matter of deception.
The false prophets among the people, even there shall be false teachers among us.
That the people are just deceived by what? False teaching. God doesn't like it. God doesn't like shepherds that mislead his sheep. I guess it shows why we're not on too many Christian stations, huh?
That's only a small part of the false teachings in these churches. In that group, the Shepherd's Chapel and Herbert Armstrong and Unitarianism and Universalism and ism, whatever ism, rheumatism, whatever ism it is, that was a earth age before, and we were angels, and here we're on earth, we're getting ready to graduate to heaven. Adam and Eve. Eve had sex with Adam. Eve had sex with Satan, and that's Cain came out of it. They used Genesis 4:1 on that. Oh my goodness! It just goes and goes with deception. You see, no wonder people's messed up, and they have a large, large, large following, massive following. Family, any reason why? Doubt about the tribulation and what it's for. Sacred name movement, Hebrew roots movement, all connected together. All these names, Christian Identity and so forth, is all linked together. The sacred name movement came from the Church of God, the Seventh Day in 1930s. And the movement allegedly began with a response to study of Proverbs 30, verse 4. What is his name and what is the name of his son? So the sacred name movement teaches that only Yahweh is to be used for the name of God and only. is Yeshua, is to be used for the name of Jesus. And any other name is blasphemy, you see. So the ones that deal with that are being led to believe that, are being prepared for the return or for the coming back of Yeshua, the fallen angel. So not Emmanuel. And 65 other fallen angels known as the hierarchy. Sons of God of the Old Testament. Great White Brotherhood. The community. The hierarchy. Aliens. Ascended Masters. They're all the same with different names. Depending on the group or crowd they're appeasing to. They appear literally at the Wesak festivals every year. Some of you are not going to like this, but I'm going to tell you anyway. They're the second heaven in the universe, the stars, the planets of our solar system. That's where they are placed. These are the orbs that you hear about. Human flesh cannot reside outside the Van Allen Belt, but supernatural beings in the form of orbs can, and portals. Traveling from Saturn to Earth, Venus to Earth, Mars to Earth, Saturn, Jupiter to Earth, different fallen angels, but in physical form, energy form. They can take on physical shape here on this Earth. It's not science fiction. It's witchcraft, alchemy, invocation, human sacrifice. The energy generated by HAARP to produce hurricanes, tornadoes, the train wrecks that occur, this is energy, forest fires started by shaman, supernaturally, extinguishing of physical life, human life, destruction of the earth, creates energy that these demonic entities can manifest themselves in this physical realm. By using the hexagram, which is witchcraft, the Star of David, pentagrams, which we got 50 of them on our flag. Family, this is the reality, the cold, hard facts of what's going on. You know, in addition to this strong emphasis on the use of this original Hebrew name for God and Jesus, the sacred name movement teaches that the followers of Yeshua must obey the Old Testament law. Now you see, that denies Jesus, does it not? And especially commands regarding the seventh-day Sabbath, our kosher food laws, and the Jewish festivals. Do you not see that today? Now you know where it's coming from. The original sacred name movement, several subgroups came from it, called the Assemblies of Yahweh, the House of Yahweh, Yahweh's Restoration Ministry. Oh, it just goes and goes. The sacred name movement has many problems with it. Primary problem is the same as that of the Hebrews movement. Sacred name movement fails to understand the Savior did not come to expand Judaism or the Old Covenant. I talked about the New Covenant. Okay, now I got it. It's amazing where God leads you. Now I see where that comes in. Amazing. That's why. The Savior actually came to fulfill the Old Covenant, establish the New Covenant. And you know, His death and His resurrection actually fulfilled the requirements of the law and freed us from its demands. Boy, that is radical. These churches do not like people saying this. They don't like that one little old bit. That's why they don't like, they make it so difficult if you all have home studies and homeschooling. There's no Saturday Sabbath, no Sunday Sabbath. It's all baloney. No 10% tithing. Make you all feel guilty like Dickens in church. I mean everybody, and you don't give money or something, you're a sinner. Well, your tithing is when you're going downtown and some guy comes over and says, look, I haven't eaten in 5 days. I need some money. There's your tithing. Or when it hits you that some house caught on fire and the Lord touches your heart to take clothing there or something. That's tithing. Because Jesus Christ fulfilled that requirement of tithing in the Sabbath. The Holy Spirit took the place and tells you what to do. Bible even supports it. Clear out. I've talked about that before. I have studies on that. But, I mean, it's slam dunk. You know, I sometimes wish I had chat going on to see how it buzzes some of these things that I say, but it's all based on evidence. That's the, you know, that's the whole thing about it. And study the scripture. And these lukewarm churches out there, man, I don't know what they up to. I'm not going to go into detail on the once saved, always saved. I've talked about that before. You know, there's all kinds of different things going on about all this. And it says in the Bible, in Colossians 2:16-17, you know, to me, it's pretty clear, and I'll tell you why. Colossians 2:16-17, let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of a holy day or the new moon or the Sabbath days. There's that word Sabbath. That's pretty clear. Which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. It tells you right there. There's no mistake. And when you show them this, you show people this, Americans, English-speaking folks, they completely ignore the scripture in front of them and they go somewhere else. Like, hey, where are you? Hey, come back. Where are you? Come back here. They won't talk about it. At least they acknowledge it, but they don't even acknowledge it. Romans 10, verse 4, talks about freeness from this demands. Galatians 3, 23 to 25. In Ephesians 2, verse 15. And the old covenant is but a shadow. The new covenant established our Savior, Messiah, as fulfillment, not a continuation. He fulfilled it. So, the focus on the sacred name movement, on the names of God and Jesus, is unbiblical. You have to get all nasty, all mad at you. They block you, turn away from you. Don't call me no more, or whatever, you know. If you don't say the right word, your name's mud. And man, let me tell you, down south, some places don't say I'm tarred, because they're mistaken and say, oh, he's tarred, get the feathers. Especially when you tell them that Billy Graham's a 33rd degree Freemason. Man, don't you dare say I'm tarred around here. They'll hunt for a bucket of feathers. Family, we've been fooled for decades and decades and decades and decades, plus, plus, plus. Time to come out of the shadows. And the churches. Y'all teach the churches because the churches aren't teaching the people. You do have some out there that are, but very, very few, and they're falling away. That sound familiar? The human authors of the Old and New Testament, writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, had no qualms about referring to God as Elohim, Hebrew, or Theos, Greek, or referring to the Son as Jesus in Greek. If it's biblically appropriate, then, to use generic terms to refer to God and to use Greek versions of Jesus' name, why is it wrong in English to refer to Heavenly Father as God, Messiah as Jesus? Why would it be wrong to use a Chinese, Spanish, or Russian pronunciation and spelling of those names when they can't speak English? As long as it's the same Jesus in the Bible, not the Torah, or the Book of Urantia, or NIV, or these other Bibles that's corrupt, because they're not complete. Corrupted on purpose. And they are. Where do you think you get the name Yahoo? You ever thought about that? It's true. That's where the name comes from. False name of God. Further, the adherents of the sacred name movement can actually completely agree on what the sacred name names are all really about. While Yahweh and Yahshua are most common, some propose Yahvah, Yahwah, Yowah, Yahuwan. They can't get it straight. For God and Yeshua, or Yeshua, whatever, for Jesus. That's difficult. Let's be a little more dramatic about it. The real name Jesus of the Bible, when these people out here are going to be attacked by these demonic entities, or by calling out the name that's going to save them, when they cry out to these demons and they say Yahshua, they're still going to die. When they say, though, Jesus, those demonic entities have to respond and have to respond to the name of Jesus, but not Yahshua, not Yahweh. Holding a cross up, garlic, or shooting with a silver bullet, or like Quell says, a copper bullet, ain't going to work. Only the name of Jesus will work. And you better be linked up. They call prayer and fasting and born again. You see, they're going to run out of bullets. They're going to run out of 25 millimeter shells when these Nephilim appear on earth. They're going to run out of it. What are they going to do then? I'll tell you what they're going to do. They're going to die. Because either the Nephilim have to respond, the Nephilim are powered, possessed by the former Nephilim's spirits, which were demonic. It's taken on a new human form. Actually, not a human, but Nephilim. They're yet to be released in the public. At a certain time, they will be released when God removes his protective veil. That's how important it is. This isn't about doctrine so much as it is about self-protection and being born again. And actually having to face these monsters and crying out loud, in the name of Jesus Christ, commands you to leave. In the name of Jesus. That's going to be pretty necessary because it's coming. Our relationship with God is not based on our obedience to the old covenant that our Messiah perfectly fulfilled. Our salvation is not dependent on our ability to properly pronounce God's name in Hebrew. But I've told you why. It's to get people used to saying the name of Yeshua, the fallen angel. Because that's what he's saying his name is. This is so tricky. So much mind manipulation. And now today, when I talked about the ELF transmission, now you see how people are going to be compliant. They've covered all the bases, except for one. They keep forgetting about the sixth seal. That sixth seal is a great earthquake. And you won't be able to register it on a Richter scale, because the Richter scale won't be functioning when it's done. They won't have any technology. When that sixth seal breaks, all technology will be wiped out. We'll be back to Stone Age through the seven trumpets yet to happen. Seventh trumpet brings a seven bowl judgment upon this earth of those left alive and fallen angels that's left on the earth. And the Nephilim is still living. Why do you think at the seventh bowl judgment, there's 100-pound hailstones going to fall all over the earth? you'll need those big hailstones to deal with those giants called the Nephilim. Family, spiritual warfare is what it boils down to. It's all about spiritual warfare. Prayer. Fasting. Praying. And you having the confidence, like David did, to walk out among them when everybody else is going to be cleaning out their undershorts. There'll be Davids all over the place. Now you know why David's in the Bible too. You may not have slingshots, but you got the power of God with you. And that's what you got to depend on. Because there ain't going to be no bullets. Spiritual warfare is what it's going to be all about. And there's two mistakes about it, overemphasis and underemphasis about spiritual warfare. And the key to successful spiritual warfare is finding the biblical balance. You know, Jesus sometimes cast out demons out of people, sometimes healed people with no mention of the demonic realm. Some blame every sin, every conflict, every problem on demons that needs to be cast out. Others completely ignore the spiritual realm and the fact that the Bible tells us our battles against spiritual powers. And Paul, what does he say? Ephesians 6:10 to 18, he says, or instructs Christians there to wage war against the sin in themselves. Romans 6, to wage war against the evil one. But everybody knows about Ephesians 6:10 to 12. That one you hear about quite often. Finally, be strong in the Lord, his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God that you may can take your stand against devil's schemes. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers in this dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realm, heavenly places. That's a lesson the Joint Chief of Staff should take. They won't until it's too late. You know, a powerful example of someone strong in the Lord's power was Michael the Archangel. Go to Jude 9. Michael the Archangel, probably the most powerful of all God's angels, he didn't rebuke Satan in his own power. He said, "The Lord rebuke you." Revelation 12:7-8. And that records that in the end times, Michael would defeat Satan. Still, when it came to the conflict with Satan, Michael rebuked Satan in God's name and authority, not just his own. He didn't say, "I, Michael, rebuke you." No. He did it in the Lord's name. And you know, for you, as humans, it's only through our relationship with Jesus Christ that Christians, born-again Christians, have any authority over Satan at all and his demons. It's only in his name that our rebuke has any power. When I'm talking to someone that's here in the United States, say, for example, and say, "Oh, I love God," and this, that, and the other, and then they start praying, "I rebuke Satan in the name of Yeshua." Or they say, "Well, the King James Bible is errant. It's not really," I say, "Whoa, wait a minute, because I know the Holy Spirit's not in them. It's not possible." So there's always a conflict there. For y'all's knowledge, look up the Hebrew Roots Movement and look up the Sacred Name Movement and link it to the Christian Identity, Hebrew Roots Movement, the Jerusalem Bible, the Westboro Baptist Church. They're all connected. It's incredible how they do that. It's a network of something or another. I believe it has to do with the tribe of Dan. A lot of it. and learn about spiritual warfare. The keys in success of spiritual warfare: rely on God's power, not our own. Rebuke in Jesus' name, not your own. Protect yourselves with the full armor of God. Study that. Wage warfare with the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. And then remember that while you wage spiritual warfare against Satan, not every sin or problem is a demon. It needs to be rebuked. You're going to find priests that will take demons out of people. Family, that's not the priest doing it. There's a corroboration, as told by Jesuit Alberto Rivera. Others I've read that there's a corroboration between the demonic realm and the priests, in the same way that there's a corroboration between the demonic realm and voodoo doctors and witch and shaman, medicine men, and so forth, healers. It's a demonic realm doing it, and they don't realize it. Satan can cast out demons because to give the human server power over everybody else. Like saying, look what I did. Magicians like Copperfield and these others that have made a pact with Satan can perform alchemy, manipulate DNA. Yeah, you see. We listened today how the ELF transmission can affect DNA. Well, when you invite a demonic entity inside you by invocation and seances and all these other things, they can change the DNA of that person they're inside. The demonic realm helps these magicians because they're into witchcraft. Well, it gets deep. And this thing about Yahweh, YHWH, it's a tetragrammaton, ancient Hebrew language, but Yahweh is Satan spelled backwards in the symbolic language. They're not telling people this. Well, family, we're at the end of the program here. And what's really going to happen is it's going to end up being spiritual warfare in the future. There's all sorts of these things. I can talk about that tomorrow night in more detail. About spiritual warfare in detail. Well, tonight, family, this is what it's all about. The Yeshua. Get ready for it. Look it up yourself. Don't let me just tell you and relate my experiences and my research. You do yourself, because you better be ready, because there are going to be a lot of people against you when they have the aliens present themselves on TV. And people are going to see UFOs. UFOs not only are illusions, but they're produced by barium, strontium, barium niobate. Holographic imagery is an army project. I found the study of it. Oh, yeah. And the voice of skull I talked about today is real. And in my previous broadcast this afternoon, you can get that on a download. I'll have it up this afternoon, this evening. And I talk exactly about the ELF transmission, voices in the skull, why there's suicides going on, being orchestrated, all that, and with evidence. So, you know, if you'd like to hear about it, and it kind of dovetails a little bit today, tonight. So you'll have a great night tonight, and know that Jesus Christ won on the cross. Don't let him put fear in you. You know, people worrying about getting all these vitamins and all this stuff going on, and I don't know, the right water to drink, where to go, where to hide, where to... Family, whatever you thought of, somebody else has thought of. Whatever it is you have, that's silver or vitamins or ammunition or food, it's all going to run out. You're going to run out of it. You know, what are you going to do then? See, it's all about supernatural. Man, you all do what you want. Me, I'm not concerned or worried about any of it. I'm just really not. you know, I'm being prepared as much as possible, but I trust in God totally. You know what I mean? You either do or you don't. Well, I decide I'm going to. You know, it's my decision. So all this stuff, Agenda 21, FEMA camps, guillotines, I don't know, Nebru coming around, NDAA, global reset of the financial, man, they can just pound you, boom, 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 pound you with all this stuff, man, to the point you can say, I don't want to hear no more. They've got you right then, you see, because then you're not ready for it because you want to get away from it. I absorb it. For me, it's not a problem, but, you know, people just sometimes just can't, you know, to deal so much, you shut down. That's how they have it designed, to hit you from all sides. I just say, Lord, take care of these people. You know, I'm, you know, whatever. Get along. You know, get them, move on. Because the Lord's going to take care of it. And most of it's out of your hands anyway. You know. You do what y'all want. Me, I'm not going to worry about it. I trust in God or I don't. I decide I'm going to. You know, death doesn't bother me at all. I have no worry about it. Not at all. Not in the least bit. My only concern is not reaching enough people. Oh, well. I'm trying. God gave me a network by certain means and circumstances. So I'm going to use it for as long as I can. I don't have to do this. I don't make nothing for this. It costs me money every month. I just do it because I feel God wants me to, so I'm going to continue on until he tells me no. It's that simple. Y'all have a good night. I appreciate y'all dropping by on this Bible study. I'm going to have these up. The family, what I've told you tonight's the truth. So y'all have a great night. Sleep well. Because Jesus Christ is coming back. He's already won at the cross of Calvary. It's just going to take a while for these people around here to catch on. That's what the tribulation is all about. To get people's attention. Then they're going to come to you. Then you're going to go to work. Right now you're just dropping seeds. You're training yourselves. Learn how to lead someone to Jesus in steps. Because it's coming. So God bless. Lord, we thank you tonight for this Bible study. Lord, we thank you for being able to come together tonight in a Bible study that we have it nationwide. That, Lord, that through our what we learn and what we pass on can be used for others. Lord, we do pray for our loved ones, for healing. Father, we pray for discernment and wisdom to be able to preach the true word of God out, lead others, and Father, to strengthen ourselves with the courage to be able to speak out. Father, write the words on our hearts, anoint us with your Holy Spirit. These things we pray in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. Y'all have a good night now here. And that's so country. And we'll see you all tomorrow 4 to 6. And keep you all minded that we're played up in highpointradio.net. New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, highpointradio.net by John Kirkler, H-E-R-K-A-L-E-R. A good man up there. His email is highpointradio@yahoo.com. And also, we're played at KBLU Radio in Blue Raven Network. Family, my website is watchmenforjesus.com. And now that I got this broadcasting pretty much set up, I'm going to focus on my website now. Along the ways. Doing it myself, too. A little longer, but anyway. So y'all have a great night. And God bless. When he raised me to my feet, and as I looked into his eyes, the love was shining out from him like sunlight from the sky. Guilt and my confusion disappeared in sweet relief.
and every fear I'd ever had just melted into peace.
Good night and God bless.